You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. It's the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jays. Millie.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast. We want to thank you for making this part of your daily routine. The postseason is here, and we're here for you Monday through Friday, and then whenever else we'll do post game. We'll step up our game for the postseason. So we hope you stick around. And if you're a new listener, you can get the Locked On Celtics podcast and subscribe on the new podcast app, Himalaya. Also, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get podcasts, you can get the Locked On Celtics podcast. Or if you want, you get in your car, or if you're at home, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Celtics. So we've got big breaking news to talk about this time around. Marcus Smart's injury is much worse than we thought. We'll talk about that first. Later on, Kyrie had some comments about how much bullshit he's gone through this season. That's a direct quote. We'll let you hear what he had to say. But I, John Corrales of MassLive.com, joined by Jay King of The Athletic, will discuss now Marcus Smart's injury, the Boston Celtics, after a Woj bomb that revealed a torn oblique. The Celtics confirmed that today by announcing that an MRI on Wednesday afternoon revealed what they're calling a partial avulsion, which means a tear, of his left oblique at his iliac crest, which is why he was holding his hip. The iliac crest is at his hip. And so they say that happened when he collided with Nick Vucevic, and he is expected to return to basketball activities in 4 to 6 weeks. So, Jay King, the first question is, what does this mean for the Celtics in the playoffs? What's the instant impact here?
I think the Celtics should be able to survive without him against the Pacers. I think you can slide Jaylen Brown into the starting lineup. You can still bring Hayward, Morris, and Rozier off the bench. And you can make it work against the Pacers. I know it's a pretty big deal, even against Indiana. Bogdanović has always been Smart's matchup, at least this season. Bogdanović has averaged 20.9 points after the All-Star break, taken on a big role and done so really efficiently without Victor Oladipo. But the Celtics should still have enough, especially with home court, to beat the Pacers. To me, the issue is if he needs to miss extended time during the Bucks series, that's when you need everyone on deck. That's when you need all your star players. That's when you need to be at your best to knock off what has been the NBA's best team this season. And that's where this injury, I think, gets really scary.
Yeah, that I agree with that. The Pacers, I still think they can get past the Pacers. I've been looking up some of the numbers. Marcus Smart has defended Bogdanović the majority of the time this season and done a pretty effective job in four games. Now, this is not the most accurate data, but according to NBA.com, over 62 possessions, he's only scored 16 points against Marcus Smart, which is, you know, pretty good. And looking at the other numbers, Jaylen Brown has not apparently fared very well against Bogdanović, but Gordon Hayward has. And it's an interesting – I'm not so sure that that's indicative of how things are going to go moving forward, but I'm really curious to see what the Celtics do moving forward here now in the playoffs. Obviously no Smart for the series. And do they start Jaylen Brown or do they start Gordon Hayward? And what does that mean for playing time for Terry Rozier? I was leaning Gordon Hayward to off the, you know, at first, But I'm starting to change my mind here. I think maybe Jaylen Brown might be the guy. Just the way he's been playing, first of all, has been great. But that matchup against Bogdanovich, I think they're just going to really try to get Brown involved, because if you put Hayward in there against Bogdanovich, he draws a couple of fouls. You can't have Gordon Hayward like playing tentatively with foul trouble. I think you need Hayward as a playmaker behind Kyrie Irving, especially now with Smart gone, because now not only do you lose a defender, you lose a playmaker, you lose a ball handler, and Hayward's very, very important as a ball handler. I don't know. I'm kind of going back and forth, but I think I like Hayward coming in for Irving, or coming in and playing minutes where Irving's on the bench in place of Smart. Like, you could have had Smart take some of those minutes, but I think I'm leaning towards Jaylen Brown right now.
Yeah, I think Jaylen Brown makes sense. And I say that because lately the Celtics have started big with Horford and Baines, and then come in with Morris and Hayward off the bench alongside one of those big guys. So they try to stay as bulky as possible when they come in with their bench unit. And I think doing that continues to make sense. I think Hayward has found a lot of success recently captaining bench units and handling more of the playmaking duties. And I think continuing him in that role makes sense. I do think that with this injury, you'll see a lot more minutes for Hayward. I think he was going to get minutes boosted regardless. I think Jaylen might see a big minutes increase too. Obviously, it sets up Terry Rozier to maybe be a bigger role. The bench right now, is it just Rozier, Morris, and Hayward? Can you get away with that? Do you use Tice? Do you use Ojale? I don't know. Last year, a lot of the time, the Celtics used an 8-man rotation in the playoffs, but they were kind of forced into that.
Yeah.
They were mutilated by injuries at that point. So we'll see. I'm interested to see how the rotation changes. And after this, I don't think it will change as much, because some of the guys who have been playing a lot of the minutes will see more minutes anyway. But I'm interested to see how Brad kind of tweaks things now that the playoffs have arrived.
Well, one thing that it takes away offensively is moving Kyrie off ball. Like, there are a lot of times you can get it to Marcus Smart. You move Kyrie off ball, have him coming off some screens, catching the ball on the move, and then creating that way. Just a different wrinkle in how, you know, using his shiftiness, his quickness against a defender who's already moving, that quick change of direction can really get Kyrie open and into the paint. So with it, if they decide to start Jaylen Brown and you go double big Brown and Tatum, then you can't run Kyrie off ball, really. You have to have him as just the primary ball handler, which is fine, because then what I think will end up seeing offensively is just a ton more high pick and roll with him and Al Horford like that. And I've kind of expected that to happen anyway. Like, they didn't do that much during the regular season because they've kind of focused on ball movement and this big democratic process. And I think now that the playoffs are coming around, that's all going to go out the window. And especially in a situation like this, you just say, all right, fine, space the floor. Jaylen Brown's a shooter. Tatum's a shooter. I mean, even Baines, to some degree, has the ability to hit those shots. You run that high pick and roll, and you just play off of that. And I think with this injury and the loss of a ball handler, you're going to see that a lot more.
Yeah, Kyrie and Al. Al and Kyrie. Kyrie and Al. Some Gordo.
Some Gordo.
But I think for sure, to me, and we've talked about this a lot, depth isn't what differentiates the Celtics, and especially now that Smart, it's not going to be what differentiates the Celtics. What differentiates them is that nobody can guard Kyrie, and Horford is a matchup problem for damn near everyone.
Right.
And to me, that's what they're going to have to rely on. And then, of course, they're going to have to pick up stops, and losing Smart is a big challenge for them. on that front. But the Pacers don't really have many scorers anyway, and they're not at all the most dynamic bunch. So Celtics may be able to get away with it against them. The Bucks are a different beast. The Bucks are a very different beast, and they put you in rotation a lot because Giannis is so good at getting the hoop. So that to me is where the Celtics will really miss Smart. And part of the reason why they'll miss him so much, and we saw last year during the playoffs how much they missed him when he missed the start of the Bucks series, and then he came in and I thought totally changed that series when he came in with his hustle and with his defense. But now he's turned himself into slightly better than league average 3-point shooter. And he's gotten better at finishing from basically everywhere on the court. So it's not like in the old days when you could just totally abandon Smart. Maybe teams still will in the playoffs anyway, because in the playoffs, especially the deeper you get in the playoffs, you got to pick your poison. And they're not going to pick to leave Kyrie, and they're not going to pick to leave Horford. Maybe they still will leave Smart, but he's turned into a good enough shooter that he can punish teams that leave him wide open, or at least he's not rewarding teams all the time for leaving him wide open. And so it's a big deal. This injury is a really big deal. And it's just so dumb that they put him back in the game.
Yeah, that was, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that made things worse, but it certainly doesn't look good. It doesn't even look good that he was in there at all. Although, I don't know, this could have happened at any point, but it's just to put him back in that game. There's a lot not to like about what was done in that game, and even Kyrie going back in, but that's whatever. Why don't we do this? Why don't we take a break and then come back? We'll dive more into Marcus Smart and the Bucks. Yes, we're going to look past the Indiana Pacers. We'll look at whether the Celtics can get past the Bucks without Marcus Smart. We'll do that when we come back here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. No Marcus Smart. We've already talked about getting past the Pacers. I think we're comfortable with the idea that the Celtics can still do that. They still have the manpower to handle the Pacers. Not going to be as easy, but we still think that can be done. Now, the Milwaukee Bucks will very likely be waiting for the Boston Celtics in the second round. The first thing I think that Celtics fans really want is for that Bucks team to somehow get challenged in the first round and have that series go 7 games, whoever they face. I don't know that that's going to happen, but you can hope and pray if you are so inclined. But having the Bucks have to face a 7-game series would not be, I won't hate that from the Celtics perspective, at least to extend the possibility of Marcus Smart coming back on the 4-week end of this injury. If he comes back in 4 weeks, again, they said they expect Smart to come back in 4 to 6.
If that is the right timeline, I would expect him back closer to 4. This is Marcus Smart, and who knows? Maybe it's something where you can get worse and aggravate it, and then he shouldn't risk it even in the playoffs. But if it's something where it's pain tolerance type of deal.
Yeah,
I suspect Marcus Smart will be back as soon as he can.
I would normally agree, and I agree. Like if that's all it is, then he will gut his way through anything. The only thing that's holding me back on this is that it's an abdominal issue. It's an oblique. Everything comes from your core. You can't get out of bed if there's any sort of pain in your core. So that just impacts so much of what he can do that no matter how tough you are, like a core issue like this, an oblique, an ab, a lower back thing, that just slows you down no matter what. So he still has to, if there's any risk that it's going to hold him back. But if it does happen to be the 4-week thing, then that would put him back midway through a series with the Bucks. So the Celtics would have to get to like a game 5 or a game 6 So, and there's, you'd like to think that they could, but there's no guarantee. So, but that's the time frame. If it's closer to 6 weeks, then that would be the conference finals. And getting past the Bucks would be extraordinarily difficult. One of the reasons why is that Smart has been like, they don't have a guy that can defend the way Smart can defend, obviously, but like even like switching onto Giannis, like Smart can switch onto Giannis and Giannis won't necessarily back him down. Like Smart can stand his ground, and it's going to be very, very difficult to match that. And it's going to be, I don't know what kind of defensive strategy the Celtics are going to be able to use in trying to slow Giannis down if Smart's not there.
Yeah, I tend to disagree with the idea that Smart, even though he can guard almost anyone in the post, can deal with Giannis. Giannis is a different animal right now. Giannis is just flicking people off him. And I know Marcus Smart isn't a normal person, but Giannis is just on another plane right now from anybody else, as far as going to the hoop and shedding people on his way and getting through contact. He's been just a beast. I still think we kind of brushed over the fact that they put Smart back in the game. I want to return to that.
Sure. Sure.
It was just, to me, just so dumb, and everyone knew it was dumb immediately. It was a meaningless game. They'd already wrapped up home court in the first round. They were essentially locked into fourth place regardless of what happened. There was like a 3% chance or something that they passed Philadelphia for third, but even then there's not much difference, I don't think, between third and fourth. They know that Marcus Smart is a type of player who always wants to stay in the game, and even if he's really hurting, we'll say that he's fine and try to go back out there. And at that point, just save him from himself.
Yeah.
Just don't put him back out there. And maybe the damage was already done. But if it was, then that's even more reason to keep him on the bench. Like, I just don't get why they put him, why they let him convince them that he was good enough to go back on the court when he was clearly in a whole heap of pain heading over to the bench. And then throughout a timeout, talked to the trainer, told him he could go back in, and they just let him go back in, and immediately he couldn't run.
Yeah.
And then he collapsed, and you could kind of tell at that point when Marcus Smart kind of crumbles to the floor, you know he's in,
sure,
dealing with a whole load of pain. I don't know. I just think that was one of the dumbest sequences I've seen in a totally meaningless game to put a starter back in there when he was clearly hurting.
I put that on the training staff. Your job is to look at a guy and evaluate a guy and know who you're dealing with. And yeah, I mean, to your point, the Marcus Smart's always going to say he's okay until it's so painful that he can't physically stand up anymore like he did. But you have to be able to read the signs, look at the player and say, you know what? Even if they say, okay, he says it's okay, let's just double check. Let's just double check. Meaningless game or not, let's just double check and see if this guy actually is okay. You know, have him do something to, like, if it was an ankle, if it was something else, they could have at least, you know, let's go in the back and see you sprint up and down the hallway. And if you can sprint up and down the hallway, then great. Like, if that's what they did, then he would have sprinted up the hallway and he would have stopped just like he did on the court, and he would have fell down, and we'd still be in this exact same position, but we wouldn't have this bad optic of putting this guy back in the game and watching him crumble to the floor. So that is problematic. I agree. That's problematic. I'm going to bring up this from Adam Himmelsbach, who tweeted in the midst of this conversation. saying, I'll read directly from his tweet, have been hearing that despite the 4 to 6 week timetable on the Celtics press release, the belief is that it's a 3 to 5 week injury for Marcus Smart. So 3 to 5 weeks is a significant difference because
the old misleading press release trick.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's wild to me that the Celtics, we sat there and Brad Stevens was like, nah, it's just a bruise, man. He's trending upward. He said, we were standing there in Washington and he says, both guys are trending upward. And then Danny Ainge goes on the radio and is like, yeah, I think it's a day to day thing. And then all of a sudden, Woj bomb out 4 to 6 weeks, could miss two rounds of the playoffs. You're like, wait a minute. What's going on here? But they're apparently, well, I mean, Adam knows. I mean, we'll see. If it's 3 weeks, then that's essentially the beginning of the Bucks series. Haven't really looked at maybe after game one or two, which that's a big deal. And then if they can get past the Bucks 5 weeks, it's beginning of the conference finals. So if that's correct, that's better news than what we got before. So there's that.
Yeah. That extra week, may not seem like much. That could be two games in the conference finals or the second round against the Bucks. That could be the difference between whether he plays in game one and two or doesn't play until later in that series. So that would be pretty, pretty critical.
All right. We're going to get updates, I guess, at practice. Celtics practice again on Thursday in preparation for the first round against the Pacers, where we don't even know if they're starting on Saturday or Sunday. So I guess let's hope for a Sunday start. One more game, push it out one more game, give Smart an extra day. But we'll get an update as best we can. Not that they were directly honest with us before, but we'll see what they say tomorrow. So there will be plenty more Marcus Smart talk as this week continues. We're going to take a break. When we come back, you'll hear Kyrie Irving talk about this season and what was, quote, a lot of bullshit. And we'll let you hear exactly what he had to say so you can make your own decisions about how he said it or what. We'll do that when we come back. And you can always get this show every day if you subscribe to Locked On Celtics on the new Himalaya podcast app. This podcast world is expanding daily, and the Himalaya podcast app will keep you up to date by making sure that you know what shows are out there that jive with your interests. So go ahead and get that Himalaya podcast app wherever you get your app stores and subscribe to Locked On Celtics. Wednesday in Boston, the Boston Celtics had a practice, and after the practice, we heard from a few guys. We heard from Jason Tatum, we heard from Brad Stevens, we heard from Kyrie Irving. And in Kyrie Irving's media availability, he was asked, hey, Kyrie, what was this year kind of like for you? And you've seen the headline, you heard me say it. It starts with a lot of bullshit. And now here, let me play you the question, the answer, the follow-up question, and that answer is a couple minutes. So here's Kyrie Irving's answer to those questions.
Kyrie, I know you guys are looking forward, but where does the season rank for you as far as challenging, emotionally exhausting, when you take a look back at those 82?
A lot of bullshit. A lot of just the up and downs that just could have been handled better from a professional standpoint, personal. And I'm talking about me personally. I'm not talking about our team. You know, and it's just I had a lot of questions, a lot of just things that weren't being answered straight up about what it takes to be a great professional in this league. And I think that the frame of that is just outdated. know, in terms of what you have to be every single day. It's not that hard, you know what I mean? Like the media and all the stuff that comes with it. I think that it's an exciting part of that that you got to be aware of. But the real part is just, you know, literally what I used to wake up every single morning to do. You know, is to put a ball in the hoop and be really great at it.
When you say final question, folks, when you say questions and that weren't being answered, do you mean of yourself?
I would say just goals that I had, questions of, you know, what I was capable of doing. And I've always had the answers, and I just looked in the wrong places. And you know, I think that that, for my career, has been the biggest mistake since I came into this, is trying to get validation for stats or other things that really don't have any validation in my life. And allowing all this to bother me, you know, all you guys and all the questions and everything that comes with it is just so irrelevant to what I do on the court and how hard I work every single day. So that's been the biggest lesson I've learned, is the way I want to treat my career going forward, rather than thinking about the last 8 years of what I've struggled with, or, you know, thought I was struggling with. You know, I'm fighting from a deeper place of a lot of my ancestors, a lot of my descendants have come before me. And none of this stuff, from the cameras to the system, really matters. You know, we all belong to that system, and you guys ask the questions for the system as well. So, yeah.
Jay, what did you think when you heard Kyrie Irving saying this stuff?
I thought that he made a good point, that he could have handled some things differently. Mm-hmm. And I appreciated that he kind of looked at himself and was asked about the season as a whole.
He did specify early, I'm talking about personally. So that's good.
You know, to me, the last month or so, he's sounded like someone who realized that he was letting a lot of BS get to him and kind of realized that he could just ignore the noise and focus on what makes him happy, which is basketball. I think he said scoring the basketball. He had a great quote, like just being great at putting the ball in the bucket or something like that. I enjoyed that part of his quote. So yeah, he's definitely been in a better place lately, and obviously he's eager to get back in the playoffs. I mean, he loves the bright lights, and he loves the big moments. And I'm sure it ate at him last year when he was out in the Celtics reseeded Eastern Conference Finals and played against his old team and played against LeBron James, and he wasn't on the court to help. So he's fired up for the playoffs. And I'm sure he knows that this team has a lot to prove, and he has a lot to prove in what will be his first playoff game without LeBron James, which is kind of crazy when you think about it.
That is wild, because it feels like that's been forever ago. And this is going to be his first chance, just like Gordon Hayward's. It's going to be an opportunity for these guys to do what they came to Boston to do and get into a playoff run. Smart or no smart, these guys are going to be very anxious to get started. I think for Kyrie, this is another Kyrie answer that I think a lot of people will. It's first of all, it's typical Kyrie. It's a very stream of consciousness type of answer, and he says some good things, I think, and then some things that might be hard for people to understand. My overall reaction is, you know, as kind of out there as it may seem, I'm with you. I like that he has taken an introspective kind of stance here and is at least not as much letting the media bother him. And because quite honestly, he does get questions that I'm sure he's like, okay, I do not want to answer this, but I'm going to say something here and play along. I feel like he's playing along a lot, and that's fine. That's better than not playing along, because not playing along is when he puts his head down and gives three-word answers or whatever. Kyrie is an interesting guy. my take on Kyrie is that, you know, look, he's 27 years old, and I think he is really, really trying to figure out who he is. And at the same time, he's this amazing basketball player on this huge stage, and he's got the bright lights, and you're right, he loves all those bright lights. But at the same time, he is still figuring out who he is. Like a lot of people in their 20s, there, and especially I think with Kyrie, look, he got in touch with his Native American roots through his mom, and that clearly has touched some part of him. And there are other elements of his ancestry. He specifically references his ancestors in all of this. And I think he is trying to figure out where he fits in this grand scheme of things. And I think that it's difficult. That's difficult to do. And he can't help but talk about that in terms of basketball. So I find it interesting. I really find it interesting to see where his mind goes with this stuff. And to kind of see as he progresses, like I'm very curious to know how he's going to answer certain questions next year. What's this summer going to be like for Kyrie, regardless of where he goes? And like, I hope he stays just so I can see how he develops as a person. Like, I'm super interested in that stuff because you can see the progression and the ups and downs that he's on. Like, it's, I'm fascinated by it. Like some people might think it's funny, and it can be, but I'm fascinated by Kyrie the person and this type of stuff that he's talking about.
And I do think he's genuinely trying to improve and progress as a leader and everything like that.
Sure.
And I think that's a challenge he's taken on, and it's a challenge that sometimes has really weighed on him to an extent that he probably didn't even realize it was becoming a burden. And I also think we overreact to the things he says all the time.
Sure.
Every time he has a press conference, there's always something really that sounds really interesting that we talk about and analyze, and sometimes we're probably wrong. And just even the chatter about it probably doesn't do Kyrie any credit, or does a disservice to him because of how much speculation goes into what he means by things. Like, we don't really know.
No,
sometimes
true.
What
true.
He means, and we talk about it a lot. So I don't know, he is an interesting dude.
I think the last thing that he said there about like the system and all of that stuff, like, I do think that he is hurt by kind of like the way things work right now, in that. So he stood up in front of that crowd of reporters today. He said what he said. And the second he says, you know, talk about, you know, how is this year for you? And he says, huh, you know, a lot of bullshit. Okay. Well, immediately we all know, well, that's the headline. That's because now our job, my job, is to write on masslive.com. Here's what Kyrie said today. And that's a hell of a headline. So I've got to, my job is to get people to read my stuff. If people don't read my stuff, then I'm not going to have a job for very long. So there's a headline for you. I got to draw people in. And, you know, at the same time, without being like too clickbaity, like I got to make sure the headline's interesting and that, you know, so people can read. However, when it gets tweeted out, people react to the headline, and that gets retweeted. And whether it's me or somebody else that has a juicy headline and people only react to that, well, then people are just passing around, oh, look at Kyrie said this season was a lot of bullshit, blah, blah, blah. They're not paying attention to what he's saying. So he's hurt by that level of response, because clearly I just played 2 minutes of him talking, giving two answers. That's a long answer. Most people answer questions like 20, 30, 20 seconds. He's giving long answers to and thoughtful answers. He's really thinking about what he's saying here, and he's genuinely, I think, trying to relay a message. Whether people agree with it or not, or get it or not, I don't know. But I think the social media reaction and the quest for headlines and clicks, the competition for all of that, doesn't do him any favors at all.
Agreed. And yeah, some of his quotes, you just, if you take them out of context,
yeah,
it changes everything.
It really, you can very much take something here from one sentence and say, and pull it out and really twist it into something else. There's absolutely, and we're having a hard enough time playing that entire thing and figuring out what he's trying to say sometimes. Chopping it down and reacting to little pieces of it, that really, and then he hears it. He definitely hears people tell him about it. He's made aware of it, and then he gets pissed off about it because it's, you know, I wouldn't want to be taken out of context, and who knows? And then add to it his emotional reactions sometimes, and then it really gets interesting.
Before we finish, I just want to talk about almost murdering RJ Hunter by accident today.
Oh, did you almost run him over?
I did. So I was leaving the practice facility and I'm driving down the street. All of a sudden, this tall, skinny, long-armed dude comes jetting out between two cars parked on the side of the road. And sure enough, it was RJ Hunter. And I drove by. He stopped and he's like, I think I saw him mouth like, oh. And then I drove by and everything was safe. So I think it was his fault. I don't think it was my fault. I don't think I was going too fast, but it could have been on me. I'm not sure. It was like that gray area. he was walking across the street to, I think, his Uber or whatever it was. And so, yeah, I'm glad I did not strike RJ Hunter with my Toyota Corolla.
That would not have been good. That would not have been. No. It's funny. I saw him when I was leaving the facility. It must have been before you left, because he was sitting inside just kind of waiting. So
I'm the first guy in, last guy out, you know?
That's true. That's true, yeah.
Not true at all.
All right. Okay, that's going to be a good place to wrap this up. Jay almost murdered RJ Hunter. That would have changed the tone of today a lot. We'll leave it there.
Yeah, would have put Marcus Smart's injury in perspective.
Yeah, it would have, for sure. We'll be back tomorrow with more news as the Celtics give us updates. Again, they practice tomorrow, so we'll hear more of what they've got to say, and who knows what else will happen between then and when we record. So you'll want to subscribe to this podcast. If you're not a regular subscriber, get on board. Remember, we're stepping up our game in the playoffs, so We'll be pumping out the content. So you can subscribe to the show on the new Himalaya podcast app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere podcasts exist, we exist. And you can always tell your smart device in your car or at home to play podcast Locked On Celtics. Of course, all of you regular listeners, please give us that 5-star rating. Please give us that good review. And also please share the podcast with everybody. Tell them that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King.